your Bibles with you, turn to Genesis chapter 12. If you've been doing Mission 119, and I just really want to encourage you to be a part of that. There may have been some confusion. Mission 19 is a devotional, but it's also an Old Testament and New Testament survey. But basically, it's a narrative of a complete picture from the beginning until the end. And so it literally takes, you read 3 pages a day, and you listen to a message. Really, it's a teaching between 8 and 12 minutes long. Really, any of you can do it. As we said, it's an app. You go to on your Apple phone or your computer, you download it. It's for free, and you begin. If you've been doing it since we started, you should be starting week 3. And so every single week for the next 92 weeks, we're going to be walking through all of the scriptures, and there's going to be a sermon that deals with some part of the passage that you've covered in the week before, and today it's going to be out of Genesis chapter 12. If you don't have a cell phone, if you don't have a computer, you'll go to the mission control table right there, and you'll notice that there are some envelopes there, and it says week 3 and 4, all of the questions, all of the CDs available. But I will just promise you, it says right here, our mission for you to become fully devoted disciples that you have been called to be, our promise, if you engage with the Bible with an open heart and an open mind, God's word will change you. And I am just promising beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you would take that at face value, I guarantee at the end of these 92 or so weeks, your heart will be changed and you'll understand how God works in a much better way. But if you have your Bibles today, it's chapter 12, the first couple of verses. It's called The Call of Abram. And the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. And he took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions that they had accumulated, and the people that they had acquired in the land of Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and there they arrived there. And Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Morah and Shechem. And at that time the Canaanites were in the land, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give you this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who appeared to him. And from there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham set out and continued toward the Negev. Let's pray today. Father, we come before you and I ask that for the next few minutes you would just give us the ability to focus. I ask that you would enable us to leave every distraction behind and we wouldn't worry about the should-haves and the what-ifs, that you would just give us this time to speak to us in a fresh way. And Father, those of us who find themselves in a place where we are running like that video showed, I ask that you would still us at this very moment and enable us to hear your word afresh and anew. Lord, may I become less and you become more. Father, we thank you for the Word of God that is not meant just to be read without thought, but it is literally the narrative and the history of you in your interaction with us. Would you open our hearts this morning afresh and anew in Jesus' name? Amen. So as I said, if you've been doing 1911 up until this point, you should be heading into week 3. If you're not there, don't panic. Just continue on the pace. If you've never done it before, start this week with week 1, and we're not going to worry about that. I'm just asking you to faithfully give it a try. And if you have been in the series so far, we've learned about creation and Adam and Eve and the flood and the Tower of Babel, and there's so much information and truth there, but I hope you're getting to see the big picture. And at this point in Scripture, in this point in the book of Genesis, God begins to sort of shift us away from the great events that were taking place onto the people that he began to deal with. And so we're going to be looking at Abram today. He's the first major person in the book of Genesis other than Adam and Eve. And for the next few weeks, we're going to be learning about him and who he was. But one of the things, if you haven't been following through Mission 119, or maybe you have, one of the things that struck me as I've been walking through it is that, do you realize Abram didn't come from a great family? So often, I think, as followers of Christ and so many of our friends and family members who don't know who Jesus is or understand how God works, we have this image that God only works with perfect people. And yet, when you read his story, you recognize he didn't come from a great family. And the other thing I think we have this idea is that everyone that God used from the beginning, they had their lives all together. They knew who God was. They had this great relationship with him. They were fully committed to him in every circumstance and every situation. But then as you begin to read the scripture, you realize that isn't the case. In fact, as I've been reading through all of Genesis and I've been working through reading through the Bible last year, one of the things that strikes me is that I'm not sure I'd want to be with any of the people or their families in the Old Testament and New Testament. It is so messed up. But it gives me courage and it gives me strength because then I can feel comfortable and helpful in the midst of that because he wasn't perfect. And at this point, what's really, really interesting, you need to understand that he wasn't even firmly committed to God at this point. And I think in chapter 11 is the first time we get a glimpse of God's grace because God chose a very imperfect person to show himself to and eventually would make him into be the father of the nations and he would literally change the world through him. We get the first piece of grace where we begin to understand that God chooses people not on their abilities or their understandings, but out of his sovereignty, he just steps in and grabs hold of the most unusual people to use in great and amazing ways. It's God's picking. So as you look at chapter 12, verses 1 through 9, can you imagine how you would deal with a message like that? Have you ever thought about what the situation must have looked like? Again, your family wasn't a devout family following after God. There was a hint, there was an understanding. Abram had sort of like my fathers and grandfathers followed this God. But it says there, the Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. It's an amazing scene, and I can remember when I first preached this sermon years and years ago when I thought this idea of him being 75, I mean, I actually said, can you imagine that? You know, and a guy in a walker, okay, you're going to leave your family. Now that I'm older, I think this is pretty much middle age. But can you imagine at the age of 75, God speaks to Abram and says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to leave your country, leave your people, leave your father's household, would literally leave, and go to a place I'm going to tell you as you go. I mean, he does offer the promise, if you'll be obedient in this, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will bless your name, and you will be a blessing. And anyone who blesses you will be blessed, and anyone who curses you will be cursed. And the whole nation, the whole world will be blessed because of who you are. I mean, it's an amazing scene. I don't know if you've ever thought about having that conversation, but as I was thinking about that, I could just imagine me in my 70s walking into breakfast or probably dinner with Joyce and I'm going to say, honey, guess what? God talked to me. Remember, not a follower of God, necessarily. She's sitting there, and he says, hey, God gave me this dream. We need to leave. And I just imagine how Joyce would respond, like, really? And by the way, we're going to leave our family, our friends, everything that we have. We're just going to, we need to leave and just start walking. How many of you have ever had that conversation with your wife? I mean, in ministry, we've done sort of things like that before, but I've never said, we don't know what church we're going to, we're just going to wander around till we find one, that type of thing. Just imagine. I can just see, honey, we're leaving Elena and we're just going to disappear. No, I'm not sure we're ever going to come back. Just trust me in this. I mean, talk about courage and faith and some excitement and some concern. And imagine the hurt. See, we don't ever think about that. You're a close-knit agricultural family. You've been knit together for generations. And he comes out and says, you know what? I know I'm 75. I know I've spent my whole life with you. This God has told me to leave. Do you ever think that people would have been ticked off at that? The frustration and the anger that probably have taken place? But it says here, God said, I want you to leave and go to a land I will show you as you get there. Do you realize that Abraham needed to make a decision or a choice? God says, this is what I long to do. If you'll leave and go and follow after me, I will bless you. You will become the father of a nation. You will be a blessing to all peoples. Your name will be known in all of the world. Just imagine what that must have been like. But he had to make a decision and a choice for it to happen. A few weeks ago, Dean gave me a book. It's called The Practical Guide to Culture by Stone Street and Kinkle. And I really truly believe that every parent or grandparent or just somebody that wants to know what's going on in culture around us and within our community and literally worldwide, you should go on Amazon today, buy a copy, and start reading it because it will be an amazing eye-opener for you. But one of the things that goes on is the speaker speaks about growing up. And basically, the speaker says, and I'm not going to go through it like I did in the first service because that went over like a lead balloon. But anyway, what goes on is that there was a day and age where people had a progression that every single child that was born, they were born, and you know they were kids. They wandered around, they had fun, they went on the playground, they listened to mom and dad. The diapers were changed. All of those types of things were going on, and then there was the expectation that there would be some sort of maturity. And you know, usually it's when you get into elementary school, you know, you can do body training and you know your alphabets and you continue to grow. And there were stages. You went from a baby to a child, and as you were a child, you sort of wrestled with some of the issues of life, but you know what family you belong to, and you knew you had to go to school because that's what everyone else was doing, and you got some friendships, and then life sort of shifts a little bit more once you get into middle school and then high school, where you're supposed to wrestle with other issues like life and, again, who you are and where you belong and how you fit in. And ultimately, the authors say that there were basically four stages, and at the end of the four stages, I don't know how else to put it, you basically become an adult. You take on responsibilities, you make choices and decisions, you know, raise a family, you work, you do all of the normal things generationally we used to talk about, but the authors of this book basically sum it up like this. Somehow, within our community and our culture and our segment of America, we have left off the fourth stage. There's a sense of adolescence that just goes on and on and on and on. And as a people, we just find ourselves chasing after all sorts of alternatives of how to deal with life. And we look at different circumstances and adventures. And, you know, every single meal has to be a gastronomic experience. And there's never that sense of permanency. And you just go from the next thing to the next thing to the next thing. And hopefully you'll find some stability sooner or later. But these authors say there is literally no point in culture any longer where someone has to make the choice to stand their ground and say, this is who I am, and this is where I belong, and this is where I'm going. We just have a tendency to wander more and more and more, and we are at the place now where we don't know who we are, and we're not sure where we fit in, and it's just one more expectation or experience we're chasing after. Where we can live our whole lives on Facebook with a sense of isolation because we don't need anyone else. And these authors say that that's a problem. When you lose the sense of stability and growing into maturity, that's a problem when we get stuck there because we're unwilling to commit or step up. And we just keep going and going and going. I think all of us wrestle with that sometimes. We are a people that continually seem to be unsatisfied because we keep thinking there must be something else. The grass is always greener. If I only find a different job, a different spouse, a different circumstance, a different church, a different company, then there'll be peace or stability or purpose. We've lost sight of how to commit. And I think that's one of the reasons why, as a people, we are at a place of just such restlessness and frantic pace. Can you relate to that to some degree? Now let's go back to Abraham's story. Read it one more time. No matter how old you are, if you're a child this morning or you're midlife at 75 and you still have another, 50 or 60 years to go, do you realize you are meant to grow and learn and to be the people that God has designed you to be? And so God comes to Abram and says, I'm asking you to go, to leave everything that you know and travel to a place I will show you. Just imagine that. I want you to get up and pack and go. And I love verse 4 because it says, and Abraham thought about it for 4 more years. Well, he didn't really do 4 more years. He just decided he would pray about it for a little bit longer. Is that what verse 4 says? It's not rhetorical. What does it say? You got your book. So Abraham left. Isn't that an amazing verse? Abraham, I want you to leave everything that you know. Just get on the road. You're living life. Just go. And when you finally get, I've thought about this. How would I tell Joyce that? Honey, trust me, we're leaving everything we know, and we're just going to travel till God says, stop. And at this point, his wife would have looked at him and said, which God? What are you doing? But it says here, so Abraham left as the Lord told him. Isn't that an amazing scene? In a very real sense, God looks at him and says, Abram, I'm going to make you and I'm going to form you into the person that you have always been designed to be. Do you realize that's what God longs to do for us? It says, so in verse 4, so Abraham left as the Lord had told him and he took a step of faith. He literally stepped out. It was not a sure thing. You and I look at this and say, what's the big deal? I've read the other chapters. Do you realize he didn't have that option? There were no other chapters. It was just go and see what I will do. It's an amazing thing. And Abraham had a lot to learn. And at this point, he wasn't even sure. In fact, if God was trustworthy. But God takes him at 75 and begins to mold and make and design and purpose and put him through testing and transforms his life in a process. Abram learned that God could be trustworthy and was trustworthy and he was faithful and what he said was true. But do you realize it didn't go really well for him? See, again, some of us have this idea, if you commit yourself to Christ, that means everything's going to be happy and clappy from that day forward. And no one says, no, God is in the matter of molding you and changing you and transforming you. And it doesn't often go the way you think it should go. But in order for that process to begin, he needed to make a decision. He needed to step up and step out. And so here's the point. Hopefully it's not that hard for you to figure out what I'm going to say next. I truly believe that every person sitting in this room here today has been chosen by God. You might not be aware of it yet, but I believe God has been chasing you and is chasing you, and it is only by his grace. It has nothing to do with your family or your upbringing or your training or how wonderful a person you are. It's simply the sovereignty of God reaches out and grabs hold of you, which we'll deal with at some other time. But I need you to understand that you were chosen. And each of you are here on purpose. It's not by accident. You didn't randomly show up here. No. God's in charge of even those types of things. But I believe also that each of us here needs to step up and make some decisions. And one of the amazing things is, I believe most of you know what those are. God has already begun speaking to you in those areas. For some of you, today is a day for salvation. God has been working. He's been showing himself. He's been showing up in your circumstances and situations, and he's coming before you today saying, hey, I want to be your God. Will you accept my gift? And it begins with that simple prayer, that simple acknowledgement. I'm not God. You are. Will you come and dwell within me? Will you forgive me and take me in as one of your kids? That's where the journey begins. Some of you may not even be at that point yet, but some of you, you're here and you're not even sure why, but you've had this idea your whole life that, man, when you finally get your life together, it's going to all make sense. Do you remember what I said 10 minutes ago with Abram? He didn't have his life together. He wasn't sure about this whole God thing. So you may be sitting there today and you've simply come into our doors and you're wondering why on earth you're here. You may start today with stepping up and it's simply saying, God, if you're real, show me. Just show me. There's not a whole lot of a commitment. It's that first step. Just show me. Some of you have already made that commitment. And some of you, if not all of you, God has said, this is what I would long for you to do. Will you step up and be involved in this ministry? Will you step up and be involved in this situation or circumstance? Will you step up and lead in this direction? I believe that beyond a shadow of a doubt. A step of faith. A willingness to step out and say, God, I'm not sure what this looks like, but I'm willing to trust. I mean, how often have I talked to people that say things like, man, God has really called me to do this women's ministry or this men's ministry or this children's ministry. And I've been here 8 years and I'm going like, when? Because one of the interesting things, at least the way God works in my life, he'll say, hey, this is what I would like you to do. And he gives me that choice. And you know what happens when I don't do it? God just waits. He waits. And you just keep going, and after a while you wonder why God's not talking to you anymore and things aren't really turning out the way you look, and you finally stop and you look back and, oh, that's right, you told me you wanted me to do this. And you know what? God says, okay, are you ready to take that step now? And hear me really, really clearly on this. This does not mean God does not love you and appreciate you and take delight in you, but he also is a God that says, but I want you to grow up and mature and to be the person I've designed you to be. And you need to understand, if you're going to be willing to step up to the plate, it's going to be risky. More than you can ever imagine. It will be risky. And oftentimes when you're walking with God and you step up to the plate and you decided you're going to be obedient to what he's called you to do, let me tell you, it's going to be really, really scary. And I've told you about the first time we got in ministry ourselves. I can still remember it. It was an amazing scene. I went to NIAC and got a degree in pastoral methods, and I went to seminary and I got a degree in cross-cultural evangelism and missions. And at that point, I had never preached anything at any. I mean, I took classes, like I did one sermon my whole life. And I can remember we graduated and we went up to Bethel, Maine, and Joyce had just had knee surgery. So you can imagine this young couple with a wife that walked like this. And we're going to lead a church. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I really think, apart from God, one of the neat things that happened is we were having lunch together, and a fly went flying by, and Joyce went with her fork and went pop and nailed it. And that's all they talked about for the next, 6 months. Man, your wife's amazing. And she is, without a doubt. I think it's because they liked her more than me. But I can remember I finished my first sermon. And I had gone from Genesis to Revelation. It was an amazing sermon. I look back at it today with awe. One, because I don't remember what I said, but two, that Monday morning, it was before I started taking different days off, I went to the office. And this may sound like a really stupid thought, but I actually thought, oh no, I'm going to have to do this every week for the rest of my life. I had nothing. It was scary. It was scary. It was scary financially, $70 a week. There are going to be times when you're walking with God when it's a scary thing, and that's okay. There'll be times when it will put you in uncomfortable settings. And you need to recognize that and just say, okay, yep, that's what it is. Sometimes to follow God, you're going to be in uncomfortable settings. I can remember when my dad was a pastor in White Plains, it was during the Civil Rights Movement, and one of the things that he did, literally secretly, he would gather every single week to pray with African-American pastors. Who'd have thought that would have been a scary thing? But when Martin Luther King was assassinated, my dad called and said, can I come and pray with you? And they said, no. Not because we don't want you to pray, but there is too much risk of a white man coming into that setting right now. Sometimes God will place you in uncomfortable places, but it's because of what he's done, you say yes. If you say yes and step up to the plate today, you need to understand that God is going to test you and grow you to the place that you will begin to trust him with the details of your life. And if you look at Abram, I'm debating next week where we're going to be going. It's going to be either the end of chapter 12 or the beginning of 13. But do you realize that when God began to test Abram so that he might know how to trust him, Abram failed for years. Because he couldn't trust God with his family. So do you recognize oftentimes when you're being obedient to God and following after him, he will put you in places where you need to trust in him. And my hope is that you'll say yes. Do you realize sometimes when you step up to the plate and decide to continue and follow after God, he will put you in places where you're going to be required to obey, even if it makes no sense. And that may mean dealing with difficult relational things where you're having to come and ask forgiveness or say you're sorry, and the inside of you and the rest of the culture says, I don't need to do that. But God says, this is what I'm asking you to do. Will you obey me even when it doesn't make sense? Or if you're going to step up to the plate, you need to understand that it just might change your life in the direction that you're going in. And that's certainly one of the quote-unquote risks in following after God. One of the things I love about this passage of Scripture is that we have this idea that God just asks us to do things without a sense of reward or design or purpose. But when God says, Abram, I want you to leave your family, your country, your people, your household, and take off and go on this journey, he also says, and I promise I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse you those who curse you. All the people of the earth will be blessed through you. So as I read a passage like this, or even if I listen to the sermon within my own heart, my next question is it worth it? Is it worth it stepping out with God? Is it worth changing your lives? Is it worth being obedient? Is it worth saying, okay, God, I'm not sure where, but I'm going to be obedient to wherever you call me or whatever you ask me to do? Is it worth it? Look at the story. Look at the story. Did Abram end up being the father of a nation? How many of you have noticed Israel's in the news almost every week? Yeah. If you go to Israel, you ask them who the father of their nation is, they will tell you, secular or religious, Abraham, which God changes his name. It goes from Abram to Abraham. Was his name great? Do you realize the three top major world religions, be it Christianity, Judaism, and Islam? Abraham is a great name. I don't know about you, but when I look at the nation and the Jewish people and culture throughout the world and within my own life, I've seen that they have been a people of blessing for the whole world. You may not recognize it or know it. So was it worth it? God was faithful and true to everything that he promised Abram. And we can see evidence of that even today. So I guess today, what will your decision be? Will you take a step out? Will you be who God has called you to be? And if that is your dream and your hope, then let me just remind you, you will have to make a move. You won't drift into this. But if you purposely step into it, you will see God open doors beyond what you can imagine. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the story of Abraham, or Abram at this point. I thank you that he didn't come from a great family. I thank you that when you spoke to him in this passage, he was not a fully devoted follower of yours. He was a man still trying to figure out what this God stuff looked like and how it would come together. And yet you captivated his imagination and his heart. And it's my prayer today that you would captivate our imaginations and our hearts. Because I truly believe that every single person sitting in this room here today will need to make the decisions if they are going to experience all that you have for them. So Lord, I ask right now in the name of Christ that you would give us a fearlessness to step up. That you would give us the courage to keep going. That you would work in such a way that we learn by the end of our lives that you are trustworthy and faithful and steadfast and good in spite of what the culture or the circumstance seems to dictate. Father, I believe that you have called this church here to do amazing, imaginably more things than we can ever hope or imagine. But it will all begin with making the choice to let you rule and reign in the details of our lives. Would you give us the courage to say yes so that we don't have to wander? Remind us this isn't an issue of loving us, but this is an issue of you longing for the best for us. May we hear you this day. In Jesus' name, amen.